Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to inspiring women. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Helen Kingston. Hello, Helen.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you. It's good to meet you. Thanks for inviting me to your fabulous home here. We're looking out across the rooftops. It's very nice. Thank you. Now, Helen Kingston is experienced both behind and in front of the camera as both a screenwriter and an actress. Helen, you've been a part of some very well-known films: Mr. Selfridge, Hugo, The Theory of Everything, Austin Land, Mr. Holmes, and various acting in movies. What made you want to get into screenwriting?
I've always loved film. So growing up, we didn't have many VHSs at the time, but I just watched them again and again until they were scratched and unwatchable. So I always loved film. And then I did English at university, and as part of it, we did some creative writing. So I wrote my first screenplay at university, and I just really enjoyed it. It was a ridiculous screenplay. It was a William Blake biopic, which was completely unfilmable, but I got a taste for the process of writing scripts, and I still find it the most fun thing you can do. So yeah.
Well, so it's always been a passion, and it's just grown organically from that.
Yeah, when I left university, after doing a few bits and pieces, a few different jobs, I got an internship at BBC Films for a month, and that was a really incredible experience because I got to sit in on some development meetings with screenwriters, and in those meetings and listening to the writers and development executives discussing story, I realised that the kind of the films we love and the TV we love, the work that goes into them is so careful and clever and takes years, and it's a process that I just looked at them and thought, that's what I want to do. So yeah, that internship really made me realise that it wasn't just, because I thought maybe I just want to work in film, but that was when I realised, no, I really want to write screenplays.
Wow, amazing. So does it help that you've been in front of the camera then to write the story from a different perspective? It must compare very differently.
Well, I will firstly correct the term. Actress is a very strong word for what I have done, which is, so basically over the last 10, 12 years when I've been writing, I've, to earn money, I've done various things as a day job, but I have worked as an extra and as a stand-in in movies. So actress, I probably wouldn't give myself that term, just because I very much admire people who can act and I very much can't. But as a, you know, as a stand-in, and as an extra, you're only a very tiny cog in the machine, but you're on set and you get to see how film crews work. And a film that I did have some writing on, I script supervised, which is a very difficult job, which I was ill qualified for, where you have to be very organized, and you're sort of continuity, where you're making sure everything gets filmed, and you're recording everything that's shot. And that month on set, I think I learned more than I did at film school. So yes, it's definitely being on set and seeing the way films are shot and seeing actors say your lines and things like that, was a really good learning experience, definitely.
Well, sounds like it was really helpful in formulating your work. So how does it come to you in terms of, we'll go on to talk about your new movie in a minute, but how does it come to you in terms of a screenplay, in terms of a plan A, B? How does it structure?
That's a very good question. ideas have come in different ways. Sometimes it starts with character and you have an idea of someone or someone who wants something, and it just hooks you and you start thinking more about them and it grows from character. I've had an idea in the past which it comes more from like genre, like, oh, I want to write at the moment I'm writing a TV detective show, which I'm very much enjoying, but I love detective shows. I grew up, my my parents reading Agatha Christie, and that kind of thing. But I love all the Scandi detective shows and things. So that was not, you know, not a hugely organic thing. I literally decided I want to write a detective show. And then within genre, it's really fun to have the limitations of genre, because then you can be very inventive within it. And it's a huge amount of fun. Detective shows have a real particular structure, because obviously there's a murder happens, and then you want to find out at the end who did it. And so there's, yeah, I really enjoy writing in genres where you have that structure and you can then play around.
Well, and research is a massive part of it. So you've worked with Anthony Woodley before on the Carrier movie that you co-produced together. Now, we want to talk about your new film. You said to me when we were having a quick chat in the kitchen just now that you feel as though your whole career changed last week. I mean, your new film, the Flood movie, it literally has just come out. First of all, many congratulations. 3 years in development. How are you feeling?
Thank you so much. I just feel very lucky. I think it's a subject, it's a story we feel so strong, we genuinely feel so strongly about. And for it to be in cinemas and with Kurtzon, who are distributing it, who, you know, a wonderful company, we couldn't be luckier. I think when I was thinking about writing The Flood, I was told that by various people, I was told that original British dramas aren't really made anymore. Films with female leads don't sell, or hard to sell. And a film about the refugee crisis would never be made. And so I listened to the advice, because I think it's good to listen to people in the industry, but I wrote it anyway. I had the support of Luke Healy, who's the producer, who's a lovely man, but he also could see something in the idea, and he could see how important it was to me that we stick with this project. And so he really has carried this project for 5-6 years and got it to where it is now, got it to the screens, because he believed in it when him and Anthony believed in it when literally nobody else did. So it's been a really big journey, which I can talk about if you're interested. So I wrote the script because it's not my story. It was very important to do as much research as possible and to make it as truthful as possible. And so the research involved speaking to an immigration officer, which was fascinating. In summary, the film is about a British immigration officer interviewing an asylum seeker from Eritrea. And it's about those two people and their stories and the asylum seeker's journey to the UK and everything that he endured, and his sort of, it's really about him and his character. So I wanted to make sure that the immigration officer was also human, and so I was very lucky someone put me in touch anonymously with an immigration officer who was happy to speak to me about their job. And then I also spoke to asylum seekers, and the producer, director, and I went out to Calais, volunteered at the warehouse a little in just by the jungle, and we went into the jungle and spoke to people there. So there was that kind of research, talking to people, which I'm sure you have a lot of experience of, where you just are getting to know people and understand their perspective. And then also the kind of research of the Refugee Council does amazing work and has carried out studies and things. So I was doing reading up on the situation as well. And then I was volunteering with the Refugee Council as a language support volunteer. I was paired with a Syrian lady who had two kids and had just been given refugee status in the UK, and I went every week to hers and worked on her English together and had coffee and spoke about life and things once we'd got past the language barrier gradually. And it was, her life is not part of the story, but the her experience of being in the UK made me feel very strongly about how we need to talk more about welcoming refugees here, and also made me very aware of the language that people were using at the time, especially the dehumanizing language used by the Farages and Camerons of the world at that particular year. I think, yeah, David Cameron said the word swarm, which was in the news and things like this. So yeah, it was a time of just soaking up lots and lots of information, and then I sat down and wrote the script.
That's amazing. That is amazing. So as you say, at the seed of the idea, it originally all started when you were listening to the radio back in 2014, didn't it? And the news got you thinking. It was about Tilbury Docks. And do you want to tell us about what you heard on the radio?
Goodness, yes. It was such a tragic thing. I was, it was a shipping container at Tilbury Docks, and people walked past and they heard banging coming from the inside. And when they opened up the container, there was men, women and children who'd been in the container for an awfully long time getting into the UK. And very sadly, a father of two, I think, had passed away on the journey. And I was so shocked by the fact that this was going on here. We're sort of carrying on as normal, and there's people are making these perilous journeys. And the fact there are more than... The UN just report came out this last week, World Refugee Week, saying that now 70 million people are displaced, which is just an unbelievable figure. And I think it's really important that we talk about it, because Brexit has pushed a lot of things out of the news, but obviously it's still going on, and it's one of the biggest crises in the world right now. And I think it's very important we talk about it and we look at policy and listen to the Refugee Council and Human Rights Watch and the organisations advocating for policy to do with refugees.
Gosh, yes, you really, you know, you were really moved and upset and angered enough to do something about it, weren't you? As you say, The Flood is all about immigration and refugees. You took your idea to the co-producer you'd worked with before. Was it an instant approval that he just said, definitely?
Yeah, so Luke had said to me, what would you like to write? Which is quite rare to have a producer who just wants you to write what you want to write. So I was very lucky with that. He said, if you write that, Luke and Anthony, who directed it, if you write it, we'll try and get it made. So I wrote it with that extraordinary support behind me. And they took a risk on me as well, because I was 25 when I wrote this. And yeah, they took a big risk. It's not a commercial film.
Wow, that's so incredible and so young and so inspiring. Definitely an influential woman. So you're hoping to change people's perceptions and respect for those enduring those horrific personal circumstances. And really, in film, and I've seen another article where you touched on it, that we walk their journey with them, with their triumphs and defeats, don't we, in film, which is very different to a documentary in terms of style and reaching a new audience who wouldn't necessarily watch a documentary.
Absolutely, yeah. I think I really believe in cinema. Film has the power to put you in someone else's shoes. And I think that we're very lucky that we had Lena Headey come on board. We didn't know her. We sent her the script, and she wanted to play the character. And with Lena Headey and Ian Glenn, both from Game of Thrones, bizarrely, coming on board, it gives us an opportunity to reach an audience that might not necessarily watch a film about refugees or a documentary otherwise. The cast in the film, I think, are extraordinary. As a writer, you cannot have a more incredible gift than having great actors play your parts. Ivano Jeremiah plays the asylum seeker. He's an actor. People might have seen him in the TV show Humans. He's actually been cast in the Game of Thrones prequel that they're just about to make. So he's going to be huge. But he's something else. I really think that it's his film in a way, because you just feel so strongly for him from the first moment you see him. And I think his performance is what people will remember.
Well, you know, could you believe that the Game of Thrones, the largest global fantasy cult show, did you pinch yourself and think this really isn't happening?
It was strange, because I was a huge fan of Game of Thrones, and when you really love a show, but also Aina Heady and Ian Glen, I personally feel are two of the best actors on the show, and yeah, for them to want to, you know, play the characters that I wrote sat in my pajamas, it is a bit surreal. But also, when it comes down to it, they just did such a great job. And when you work with great actors, and they elevate your lines, they elevate your script, and that's just such a joy.
Gosh, magical, I should think. Really magical. And a very powerful movie. It's a powerful, thoughtful reflection on humanity within the refugee crisis that's beautiful and important, as you say. Now, when you talked about the research, you undertook incredible psychological research as a labour of love yourself, as you said, volunteering in the Calais jungle, and immersed yourself in the hearts, minds and the stories. I mean, literally, you've said it's harder to dismiss their stories when you take the time to sit down and actually listen to them, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I felt really privileged that I got to know the lady that I was helping with her English, because I feel like it's almost impossible not to have empathy with someone when you've met them and had coffee with them and talked about makeup with, you know, really got to know them. And obviously not everyone gets a chance to do that. I do feel that if people understood quite how difficult it is going through the immigration process, in addition to the trauma they've experienced, being forced to leave, you know, having to leave their homes, that there would be a lot more empathy. I also feel that I would like the people who say, you know, if you come here, you should learn our language. It would be lovely if they were also the people willing to help teach our language. I was really struck with this lady learning English, the alphabet's different, and it just made me really think, goodness me, if the situation was reversed and I had to start a new life in an unknown town somewhere in the Middle East and learn Arabic. I mean, I did French at school and I can barely order a croissant. I'm really not very good at any language, and the thought of having to fill in forms and, you know, enroll her child in school and pay her bills, all these forms and everything in a language that she's completely new to, it's just so difficult. And as you say, I think if you can spend time with someone, the humanity becomes very obvious. But you also realise, you understand the situation in a way that's, I think when the situation on the news, it can just feel very removed from our lives and stuff. But there's people going through it right now, and they want to be at home. They want to be living their lives and carrying on their businesses, and you know it, they can't. So yeah, it's.
it's looking at them in a completely different light, isn't it? It's really, it's saying, you know, they've had a horrendous journey psychologically, physically. Then they have, you know, the education, the housing, the language, the loneliness, the anxiety, you know, all of that that comes with it, don't they? It's really a huge emotional thing for them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a, like you say, I think the Refugee Council actually did some research which highlighted this, the loneliness and anxiety that people are experiencing when they're waiting for their refugee status to come through, or even when they've been granted it, because they're away from their friends and family often, and they're in a country where they don't know anyone, and they can't, there's a language barrier. So I can't even imagine what that must feel like. And I do find it difficult when people don't seem to have sympathy for that situation,
They will now after the move.
I hope so.
So you researched the danger not seen in film before, even with the Refugee Council that you mentioned that you volunteered for, which it really is. And you talked about the incredible internationally acclaimed star talent. I mean, that's phenomenal. You've obviously met Lena and Ian. What have they said to you about your film?
I think that they were both really happy with the film. Lena is, she's the real deal. I mean, she really cares about, she works with the International Rescue Committee, and she is, given that she is a superstar, she's the most down-to-earth, caring, you know, she genuinely feels very strongly about this topic and about the subject and about the people, and has been out to the camps in Greece and met with people there and talked to them. And she, Lena, does a huge amount for people in that situation, and she very much cares. She's also extremely cool, worryingly cool. I mean,
and so are you now, aren't you?
Oh, well. Definitely not. But she's very cool, and there's no vanity or anything about her. She's very down to earth, and just got stuck in. I mean, this is not a Hollywood movie. This is a British independent film, and so it's a different experience. And Ian Glen, I think he's such an extraordinary actor. I can't believe we were lucky enough to get him, and he does a. I mean, I hope people get to see the movie, and he's just brilliant in it as always. He's a lovely man. He's very polite, extremely professional. We couldn't have been luckier. Not only did we have a wonderful cast, but they were also very very nice people. I think the subject matter of the film meant that the cast and the crew, it was a different feeling. I think I was only on set a couple of days, but from what Luke, the producer, said, people really believed in the project and believed in the story we were trying to tell. Life on a independent British movie film set can be quite tough, I think, weather conditions and, you know, long hours, and everybody just put so much into making this film, and I think it shows.
You must be proud.
I am proud. I am. My parents are proud, which makes me very happy. That was one thing. I'm not so bothered about, you know, critic reaction, all those things, because I think as a writer, you know, I really care about how audiences feel when they're seeing it, but I'm not too worried about critics or things. However, last week my dad sent me a WhatsApp in the morning, because he'd opened his paper. He reads the Times. He'd opened his paper with breakfast, and there'd been a 4-star review in the Times, and that made me very happy, because my parents have been they put up with a lot over the years. My sisters are much easier people to have as children. My older sister's a doctor and in the NHS, and my other sister project manager, and they are really inspiring, successful women, and I am the third child. So
you're making the difference.
I am going a different route in life, but they've been extremely supportive, and yes, as I say, put up with me asking them to read scripts and come and help film short films and all sorts over the last 10 years. So that moment was actually really made me cry, because that was really lovely for my dad to see that. So that did make me happy.
Oh, that's wonderful. So what would you say to others wanting to get into screenwriting and film production? Is it now more competitive than ever?
I feel very strongly about this. I think that if anybody is listening who wants to write for film, they should do so. I think that, so the Writers Guild did some research into women in film and television, and they found that under 30% of UK TV episodes are written by women. And I think in the last 15 years, 16% of films have been written by women. So women are hugely underrepresented. And the thing is, if you write the story, that's the voice, that's the perspective. So we're watching TV and film, and we still are mainly, for the majority of things, we're getting a male perspective. So I just feel like there's no reason why you can't sit down and try writing. And I think that there is a shift happening, and, you know, there are more shows and films written by women, but it's real slow to change. So I really encourage anybody to have a go. And it is the best job in the world. So I believe it's the best job in the world, being able to tell stories for a living. So yeah, I think whether it's more competitive now, I mean, it is a very competitive industry, but every industry is competitive. I've tried to give up a couple of times and go to my fallback career, and those were they were very competitive too. So I thought, well, I might as well keep trying with this one. So it is a tough industry to work in, but it's also, it's doable. It is doable. And if you have a story to tell, you know, there's loads of stuff available online. The best thing to do if you want to write screenplays is just to read loads of screenplays, and you can find all the Oscar winning scripts for the last 10 years are online. You know, you can, a film that you love, just look and see if you can find the script for it online. That's a brilliant way to learn. I go to a couple of writers groups, which I'd really recommend. And yeah, I would love there to be more female writers, and I'd really like, because I didn't know that a screenwriter was a job that existed till I was 18. So if you know, if anyone's daughter is really interested in writing and loves film, then yeah, just think, I think it would be really lovely to get young girls realizing that could be a career for them, and starting off young making films and that kind of thing.
You'll be inspiring them now. There you go. So, which strong women or men have inspired you?
In terms of in the industry, in life, my mum. my mum is a force of nature. She doesn't work, neither of my parents work in the film industry at all, but she... my mum is someone who is extremely determined, and she ran a charity which gave small grants to individuals in the community. So she did that as a job, but just generally in her life, she does believe you can make a difference being one person. And I think that the three of us, me and my two sisters, we were brought up believing that we could do anything, which I think is why I'm not a hugely confident person in some respects, but I always believed that I would be able to be a writer. And yeah, so she's a huge inspiration. In terms of female writers and directors, there's a writer-director called Adrienne Shelley, who wrote the film Waitress, which they've actually just made into a musical, I think. But I love her writing. And I just watched yesterday, it's come out on Netflix, Ava DuVernay's film, but TV series about the five boys, the Central Park Five, who were wrongly accused of rape in 1989, I think. And that was the most powerful 4 hours of television I've ever seen. It was extremely difficult to watch, but the most moving, powerful 4 hours you can possibly see. So as of today, I would say she's the most influential person, because the work she's putting out there is so moving, and the way she tells stories, I think, yeah, she's one of the best directors working today.
Well, so what's been the proudest moment of your career or life? I mean, this must be it, mustn't it? It must be up there.
I think for me, the proudest moment with this film coming out is actually, I had someone from the Human Rights Watch saying that the film sadly reflects reality, and Human Rights Watch do quite amazing work, sort of shining lights on human rights abuses and things around the world. And when they came on board the film and supported it, that was a really huge moment for me, because it gave it reinforced the fact that we were trying to do something quite important with the story. So yeah, that was my proudest moment.
Definitely. And you're getting a lot of influence from your mum there in terms of helping others. So can we talk about your passions? What are your hobbies and how do you relax? I mean, you probably haven't had time for the past 4 to 5 years.
I've got loads of time. I'm freelance now. What's my hobbies? Oh my goodness. I wish I could say crocheting or something. I do jog. I jog, which is, that's a very boring thing. I really don't have any hobbies. Hang on a sec, let me think. I love going to the cinema. It's obvious, but I love going to the cinema. And a lot of my friends work in the theatre and stuff. So, yeah, I'm lucky to live in London, where it's quite easy and affordable to go to lots of art stuff. I just like walking, to be honest. That's what I like to do. I like going for walks along the river. I grew up in a little village in the countryside, so I think even though I live in London, I'm always craving green. So I like to go for a walk every day. And I think, I don't know if other people listening who write find this, but I never have ideas sat on my computer. I don't think I've had a single idea sat looking at my laptop in my entire life. You have ideas when you're walking, when you're in the shower, when you're driving down the M1. Basically, when you're doing anything other than sitting on a laptop is when you have ideas. So,
and you can't write them down.
And you cannot write them down at the time, so you just have to hope that you remember them. I have actually started on walks. I use the voice recorder on my phone, so I look like I'm crazy, but I do get the ideas recorded. I think it's important if your work is creative to get out the house and do other things and meet people. And I'm really interested in people. And I think the writers groups I go to and a few things, it's good to be able to talk about ideas and that kind of thing as well. If you spend all your time sat alone in your house just with the internet for company, I don't think it's good for the soul at all.
Definitely. So do you have a mantra for living your life?
Do you know, I don't have a mantra, but I do. I was told something which has really, been told two things which I've really held on to. The first was actually Ivano, the actor, Ivano Jeremiah. The day I visited on set, the producer, it was introducing to people, he's saying, oh, this is Helen, the writer. But when Ivano came into the office, we hadn't met before, and Luke, our producer, said, oh, Ivano, this is Helen. And so we shook hands, and he was going to get a cup of tea, so we went to the catering truck to get a cup of tea. And we had a huge chat about an hour or something, talking about politics and talking about all sorts of things. And then he said, so what do you do? And I realised he didn't realise I'd written the film at all. So anyway, and then when I said, Ivano is so warm and hilarious, it was brilliant. But he said to me something which I just love so much. He just looked at me and he said, don't put your pen down. And as a writer, I'm sure other writers will agree, the easiest thing to do is not to write and to let your self-esteem or other, you know, needing to work for money or other things get in the way of writing. So if you can just believe in yourself and keep writing, you will get there, and it is the most important thing, and it's the hardest thing to do. So that's one of them. The other thing, I had a work situation, and I was quite nervous about making a choice which would mean potentially burning a bridge. And my friend Nico, who's also a screenwriter, told me a quote, which I don't know who said it. I thought it was some literary figure from the past, but I think it might have been someone on Love Island or something. But they said, may the bridges you burn light your way. And I thought, that's a way to live, isn't it? Instead of always in fear, just, you know, make the choices that you want to make, and that will show you the way forward. So yeah, they're my two mantras as of today.
I like those. Yes, we'll all be doing that, definitely. So what's your next goal then? Are you celebrating touring your movie all over the world, putting yourself up for an award? I mean, the future is amazing.
I'm a really lucky point at the moment, an exciting moment, because I'm figuring out what's next. I'm with Jago at Independent, this wonderful agent who's putting me forward to meet lots of television people, because I've got quite a few ideas for TV, which I'm excited about. So I'm possibly, yes, moving into the world of television, which would be brilliant. And I've also got a couple of film ideas too. So yeah, it's an exciting time. I feel very lucky.
So you haven't put your pen down?
I am still holding my pen.
And going for a walk. Fantastic. So lastly, what would you say to influence women or men? Because we have a lot of men that listen to the Influential Women podcast. I think they want to know what we talk about. What would you say to them to influence them?
I think what I'd like to say is, if anybody wants to write, then just start writing. Sometimes people have said to me in the past, I really want to be a writer, or I have an idea that the lucky thing about writing is that it's not expensive to have a pen and paper. You know, people wanting to direct, it's quite hard actually, because it's very costly to do production. If you want to write, you can just sit down and write, and I promise you, it's the best. I think if you sit down and you write the stories you want to write, even if nothing, you know, it's not something you earn money from, or it doesn't become your career, it's still something really wonderful to do. So just start writing.
Thank you for that, and it's so good for people as well, isn't it, to good for the soul. Thank you so much, Helen. Thank you for your time to help us open our eyes to what others have had to endure psychologically and physically for the chance of a better life. We should all be grateful for what we have now in our lives, and less quick to judge others wrongly when we are unaware of what they may have endured, and should really begin to see and recognise them literally as other fellow humans just like us, shouldn't we? And we'd just like to say we apologise if anything has actually troubled or upset anyone from the making of this programme, and we would ask them to seek support. The Influential Women's Podcast is presented by Nikki Bannerman and co-produced with Juliet Nichols. Please subscribe for free and keep listening for more podcast guests on our channel on Apple Podcasts, Comcast, Pocket Cast and Spotify. And we'd love a 5-star review on iTunes. And please share for any sponsors or advertisers to contact us and get involved.